We're going to go to our Bibles tonight to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. I'd like to thank everybody, all the guys that came and helped on the siding this week. Different days we worked on it. We're going to be working on it, Lord willing, Monday, part of the day Wednesday, Friday, and probably part of the day Saturday. So if you're able to come out, or any other time, I've probably got other stuff that needs done on it. If I'm even not here, but just let me know. But that would thank you guys so much. You just can't do it by yourself. So appreciate everybody that came out and helped with that. Genesis chapter 32, we're going to be reading there just a little bit. So if you'll stand with reverence to reading of God's word, if you're able to. Genesis chapter number 32, we're going to look at verse number 11 to start with. Genesis chapter 32, verse 11. Bible says, "And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked and speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." Go to chapter number, that was chapter 31. Did I tell you 32? My bad. Sorry. Go to 32. That was chapter 31. That was part of it. It really was. But 32 is where you got to be now. Verse 1. "And Jacob went on his way." So he's headed back to Bethel. All right. "And the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith, Thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels, into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for this lesson, these truths. Lord, I pray that you just give me clarity of thought. Lord, help me to only say what you would want me to, Lord. I don't want to say anything I shouldn't. And God, I pray that above all that you'd receive honor and glory for everything that's said tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help your people, Lord. I think this is just a very practical truth, very basic. But Lord, it can be something that can help us. And Lord's helped me. And Lord, I pray that I just be able to convey this in the way that you'd want me to. And just help the people tonight. Thank you for each and every one. Thank you for all their families and just their faithfulness here. And we'll give you the praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the Old Testament. I love Brother Hightower preaching. Me and the teenagers talked about it last Wednesday. He has a very distinct way of preaching. He tells you to go to your, go to the reference, and then he gets off, and he walks around the front, and he tells a story for about 30 minutes, and then he goes back up, and he reads his Bible. It wasn't 30, 15, all right? And then he reads the Bible, and then he gives you the truth. But I think the Old Testament, it has so many valuable truths in it. And I love reading the Old Testament. I love the stories of the Old Testament and the applicable truths in it. And I had a couple of different things I knew for quite a while I was supposed to preach tonight. And then a pastor preached a message this morning about lifting up your eyes to the hills. And it just kind of solidified this in my mind. But I'm going to talk about burdens and balances. Burdens and balances tonight. And it may not make sense right at the beginning, but Jacob here is in a kind of a, if you would, a predicament, okay? So Jacob, in chapter number 31, where I first had you go, Jacob gets a call from God to go back to Bethel, okay? And so Jacob decides, all right, I got to go to Bethel. And in chapter number 32, verse number 1, the Bible says, and Jacob went on his way. So he's doing what God asked him to do. He's headed in the right direction. And then the Bible says the angels of God met him. And it goes down, and then the Bible says, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And so he says, all right, I got to send some messengers because I'm going back home. Now, if you know the story of Jacob, Jacob didn't leave a real good taste in those back home, all right? He stole Esau's birthright. He got the blessing. He did not leave a good reputation when he left. So now he says, all right, I got to go back home. And he's like, well, maybe I should send some messengers ahead of me and they should, prepare the way before me. And, I kind of feeling out what the situation is at home because mama's not there to protect me anymore, okay? And she has no power over my brother. And if you really honestly get the comparison that the Bible gave of these two men, Jacob was very much the businessman, kind of grew up soft in my, that's kind of what I gathered out of it. Esau was the rough, tumble, hunter, warrior type, okay? And so Jacob kind of sends these feelers out, and the messengers come back and they say, hey, boss, you're in trouble. Because Esau's coming and he's got 400 men. It's not like he's bringing a bunch of, a family and, a big family reunion. You don't bring 400 armed men to a family reunion, all right? Well, depends on your family, I guess. But typically you don't do that, right? So Jacob's kind of in a predicament here. And if you look at verse number 7, this is where I kind of want to draw your attention. The Bible says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. So Jacob's trying to do some strategic maneuvering here. He's trying to say, and the Bible even goes on to explain that, all right, Jacob's theory here was if Esau comes and destroys one band, then perhaps the other band can get away and vice versa. And so he's trying to preserve life. He's trying to preserve some of his assets here. And he's just doing this. But I find here that Jacob is kind of in between a rock and a hard place because God told him to do something. God told him to go back home. But on the other hand, he's not got a welcome reception coming home, okay? And he's got this, and I want you to put yourself in Jacob's shoes because Jacob's got this burden, if you would, that he's carrying right now. It's not, the Bible says, Jacob even said, when I came across this river, you know what I had? You know, everything I owned was a staff. That's all. That's all I had. But now look at all the people that rely on me for their safety and all the animals and all the provisions and all the men servants and maiden servants and my family. All these people now are looking to me, okay? It's not, when you're single, I used to be single too, so I'm not knocking being single, but you don't have that weight that you carry many times as, when you're married and you have a family and you have a job, you transfer jobs and it's no big deal because, you can live on a little bit of nothing for a while. But when you become the provider of your family, and you've got a mortgage, and you've got all of these things that must be paid, it's a little bit more of a weight that you carry. And I think, even more than that, Jacob is here, and it's not the fact of a job, or he's moving to a location, or he's moving something like that. This is a matter of life and death, okay? And so I want you to really think about that Jacob is carrying this burden. He's carrying this burden. God designed us to be bearers of burdens. He designed human beings to be bearers of burdens. If you think about the way God made us versus a lot of other, perhaps animals or different things like that, God very much designed us to be a bearer of burdens. All right? He gave us hands. Okay? You say, well, horses, they carry burdens and mules carry burdens. Yes, but they can't do it like we do it. Right? And you think about all the different animals that God created that in no way can really carry a burden. Very, very small burdens at that. You think of the birds and how they can soar through the air, but in all reality, they really can't carry a whole lot. okay? You know, you hear of eagles even dying because they latch onto something with their claws, and once they're locked, they can't let go, and that item is too heavy for them, and it ends up drowning them or something. But, you know, God created us to be a bearer of burdens. That's how God created us. God designed us to carry things. This is the reason, I believe, you know, one of the reasons we have hands, we have feet. It's interesting, mothers have built into them by God the ability to carry their children, both during birth and after birth. You know, I carry my kids, you know, not a whole lot, especially the older ones. I don't carry them at all anymore. But, you know, Lydia or something, I'll pick her up, and I'll watch my wife. And my wife will, you know, she'll put Lydia on her hip, and she'll be doing, she does more with one hand than I could ever hope to accomplish in a day with two, all right? And she's making the food, and she's, you know, washing dishes with one hand or whatever. And I'm like, wow. And I have to, like, hold her just to keep her wrangled and stuff. Not my wife, my daughter. And so I look at that, and I think that, you know, God created them in a very special way that they can do that. A mother can do that. And it's different than the way a father, you know, a pastor asks a dad to bring a child up here. You know, and it's kind of like the football carry. You know, they just kind of walk up here. And a mother carries a child completely differently. All right? And God designed them that way. However, men were made by God to be able to carry more weight. Okay? They're designed. The very structure of our bodies is designed to carry more weight than what a lady is. Okay? But not just physically, but emotionally. Emotionally, a man can carry things that a lady cannot. Does that make a lady a lesser person? No. You're exactly the way God created you to be. Okay? God just did not create men and women the same way in that regard. But each one God designed to carry certain things, to carry certain burdens, to carry certain things. I was thinking, I was like, I wonder how much people can carry. Okay, which there's a large variation there, all right, on what people can carry. So I thought, well, what's the average person? All right, so what did I do? I went to Google. I asked Google. I didn't ask, I typed it in. And so I went and I checked it out, and they've got actual statistics on this. Okay, so I thought this was kind of interesting. They said the average weight of American male, all right, is 198 pounds, which actually took me by surprise. All right, but it probably shouldn't have, but it did kind of take me by surprise. I'm 150, like, unless I eat a lot, and then I'm like 155. Okay. So I'm way below the average, like significantly below the average, okay? But for bench press, everybody's, you know, at least when I was in college, everybody's like, how much can you bench, all right? First, I was like, I don't have any idea. I've never bench pressed anything in my life. I put up a lot of hay, but I've never bench pressed anything. But you go to a gym, and that's kind of a, you know, how much can you bench? Well, that's a standard. And I didn't realize that until I was reading that today. Because a lot of different things can be based on how much you can actually, there's certain physical activities, how much you can pick up in that physical activity can determine a lot of other physical things that you're able to accomplish. So 198 pound average, untrained. So this would just be like, I think most of us would probably fall into that category of untrained, all right? 198 pound average male can bench press 135 pounds, okay? 135 pounds. A novice, which is one that has trained for probably, from what I read, 3 to 6 months. So he's trained in this for 3 to 6 months, can bench press 175 pounds. Somebody that does this all the time can bench press 290 pounds, okay? So that gives you an idea. So I was like, well, I'm obviously not 198 pounds, so I wonder what I'm supposed to be able to bench press. So I found it, close to it. 148, so I'm close to that. 110 pounds, I should be able to bench press 110 pounds. 140 pounds if I had trained for 3 to 6 months. 170 pounds if I was intermediate, you know, not like the bodybuilder Olympic guys, okay? So I thought, well, that's interesting. So I looked up squats, all right? How much can a person squat. So I should be able to squat, like It's a lift where you go down and use your legs mostly. 100 pounds, untrained. 190 pounds if you're a novice. And 230 pounds if you're intermediate. Okay? Although that's a lot of weight. Okay? But according to your body weight, that weight increases. All right? So a 242-pound guy should be able to, a 275-pound guy should be able to bench press 150 pounds up to 240 pounds. Depends on his training. All right? So that's quite a bit of weight. All right? And then I thought, well, those are just, you know, that's just the average. Who wants to know about average guys, right? So I looked up, you know, the above average guys. And Hossein Zazadeh. He's from Iran, all right? He's in the 105-kilogram category. So it means he weighs 231 and a half pounds. So he's a big guy. He lifted in 2004 the Olympic Games in Athens. He lifted a clean and jerk, okay? A clean and jerk basically is then when you see these guys squat down like this and they keep their back real straight and then they bring it up to here, that's called the clean, and then jerks when they push it over their heads, all right? This guy picked up 580 pounds in one pickup. Yeah, that's a lot of weight. That, to me, that's almost unfathomable, all right? Well, of course, I'm on the internet, so what pops up but, you know, the little YouTube clips things. In the 2020 Olympics, this last year, all right, there was a guy, I don't remember, he's from Georgia. So not Georgia, our Georgia, Georgia, like Russia, Georgia. And I was watching him, and it was just amazing. You know, you see some guys that struggle, you know, with a certain weight, but they can finally get it up. This guy's just ripping these things off. And the last one I saw him do was over, it was well over 500 pounds. Just picks it up and just pushes it over his head. And it's just like, it's amazing that your body strength, you know, and the guy's only, so he's lifting well over twice his body weight, straight up over his head. You watch the barbell, you know, they're using inch and a quarter barbell. And it just, you know, you see the cartoons when the barbell just kind of bends over. That's what it looks like. I mean, it's just bent over. And I thought, man, that's amazing. That's amazing that a human being can pick up that much. And, you know, I got thinking, I was like, you know, I would have to use both hands to whip a guy like that. You know, I just couldn't do it with one. I'd have to use two hands. That was amazing. So I got thinking about this weight, you know, being able to carry weight. Now, how many of you guys could think you could carry a 12-inch piece of 2x4? Yeah, yeah. Some of you are like, ah, Brother Chad. Jonathan, I got a 2x4 out there. Can you go get it for me? It's out the door. All right. It's 12 inches. This door, the other door. That door works, I know, but go out this one. There you go. It actually works now. First time in 15 years, I think. It's amazing. Yeah, that's the one. It's got 108 more inches on it. What are you doing? All right, here's the thing. Got to fix the siding, got to fix the ceiling. All right, no, I still need you. All right. So he said, I mean, all these guys said they could pick up 12 inches, right? Now, obviously, there's significantly more than 12 inches here. But if I ask any, honestly, I think I could pretty much ask anybody in this room, pick up this 10-foot 2x4, and the only grip that you can have is the first 12 inches. Now, is it possible? Yeah, there's probably several guys in here that can do that with just 12 inches. So you have to pick up 10 foot with this much. Now, you think, well, Brother Chad, is it possible? Yes, absolutely, it's possible. But could you hold that for a prolonged period of time? No. All right. I know we don't have any bodybuilders in here. All right. And we got some strong guys in here, but you can't hold that prolonged for a long period of time. Now, 2x4, all right, pick it up, Jonathan. You're going to help me this morning, tonight. All right, I won't embarrass you, I promise you. A 2x4 doesn't really weigh that much, all right? But he's got a grip almost halfway. Now, here's the thing. God designed us, right? God knows us. And God knows what we can carry. But the problem is sometimes in our lives, come over here so people can see it. Sometimes in our lives, we try to carry life here. Okay? Now, can you do it? Yeah, you can do it for a little while. But you know, the thing I've really found, and I've told guys, in fact, I told Daniel, I think, yesterday. I told Daniel yesterday, all right? He was picking up, I had him, it's probably one of these 2x4s, sit down. He was picking up these 2x4s, and he started on one end. I said, I need this pile of 2x4s moved. So he started on one end, and he's trying to pick up two of them like this, all right? And so he had one in this hand and one in this hand, and he's trying to, all right? Now, I'm not real strong, but I'm probably significantly stronger than Daniel. And if it's effort for me to use this as a fulcrum, all right, in your mind, picture what he was doing, okay? And so he's trying to pick up this. Now, would he be able to carry this? Absolutely. I didn't ask him to do something he was incapable of doing, okay? But the problem is sometimes in life, we try to carry the load that God's given us, we try to carry it on the short end of the stick, okay? But you know, when I told Daniel, I said, Daniel, balance is your friend. You know, you can carry it by two fingers if you're in the right spot, but you can't hardly carry it with two hands when you're in the wrong spot, okay? Balance is an amazing thing, okay? You know these guys that can do this professionally, this weightlifting? Balance is a big deal to them. Because you get off balance in any little part, and you're going to, I mean, one, you could get seriously hurt. I mean, you're picking 580 pounds over your head, and you're off balance. Something's going to be bad, all right? And so I believe that there's this truth in balance, all right? I'm not a big guy. I'm 150 pounds. But I can, you know, and I don't do it as much anymore. I try to use equipment. I've really learned that equipment's your friend, okay? But I've done a lot of roofing. I've done quite a bit of roofing. And I'll carry two bundles of shingles up a ladder, all right? Now, bundle of shingles between 70 and 80 pounds, all right? So you do the math, all right? 140 to 160 pounds. And I can carry that up a roof. The only way that you can do it, though, is if it is almost perfectly balanced. Because you get off just a little bit, and you're going up a ladder, folks. You get off just a little bit, and that weight and gravity at that point are not your friend. Okay? But you know, it's amazing how much God has allowed us as human beings to carry, not just physically. And I use the physical as an illustration, but also emotionally and spiritually, as long as you're not getting out of kilter, okay? And God wants us. I believe that Jacob here, he's in this part of his life. He's like, oh man, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? Because, and then we find out later on, Jacob has this meeting, all right? He sends everyone else away, and we're going to get to that. He sends everyone else away, and Jacob's there by himself, and Jacob wrestles. And Jacob goes from being supplanter to the prince in that one evening, all right? So I want to just give you a few thoughts tonight. Can you help me? You all right, tell me? Good, because you are. All right. I think we all know that there are certain things in life that we are required to carry. The care of a family, the leading of a house, a ministry that you're involved in, your workload that you have. Sometimes, however, these things seem to be a bit overwhelming. It just seems like I can't keep up with everything. I've got all these people screaming for my attention, trying to draw me here and draw me there and draw me here. And it just seems like, Brother Chad, I can't carry this any longer. I've got to give up something. Okay? Sometimes it just seems it'd be easier just to set it down. You know, all you guys have carried something. You know, you're part of the piano moving crew at church. You know, I need a few guys to stay after church and help me move something. Yeah, that means it's a piano. Guaranteed. All right? And it's up three flights of stairs, and you got to carry it all the way to the end of the church. And it's like, and you're like, I got to set this down. I got to, oh, I'm going to die. But you know what kicks in for guys is your pride thing. I can't set it down before that guy sets it down. I can't do this. He's got to set it down first. And, you know, that's our pride that kind of kicks in and says, no, I got it. And, you know, be it as it may, it drives us to excellence at some point. But sometimes you get to the place, it's that moment is, all right, I got to quit this ministry I'm involved in. It's just too much for me. I got to quit this, or I can't do this, or I can't take this any longer. But you know what? That burden still needs to be carried. Someone's got to carry it. Someone needs to care for your family. Someone needs to teach the Sunday school. Some husbands, our wives still need our love. Wives, your husbands still need that help meet. But Brother Chad, I feel a little overwhelmed. I believe that you can carry more than what you think that you can carry. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you want to flip over there, I'll read a bunch of these tonight. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Where there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God has created us. God knows what we're able to carry. God knows what's going to be a struggle for us. It doesn't take God by surprise, okay? And I think we could go through a whole list of things, all right? I think we could show you, and I want to show you, because listen, this isn't just about a 2x4 tonight, all right? It's not about a work, well, it's just all this, all right? But you know, in life, we've got a lot of different things that we've got to carry. I think our relationship to God, you know, listen, a good relationship to God is going to take some of your time. It doesn't just happen, okay? And so we've got our relationship to God that's going to take some time to do, all right? What about your spouse, okay? You know, to keep a happy marriage, all right, I'm blessed with a wonderful wife, but to keep a happy marriage, I can't just forget about my wife. And if you do, you're in trouble, okay? Honestly. And sometimes it's like, well, I just can't handle this in the marriage anymore. Why? God didn't say, oh, you married her, now you're not able to carry that load. Okay? I think God, if God knew that it was there, God knew that you're going to be able to carry that. Okay? So we've got that. We've got family. You know, I've got four kids. And it's not, yeah, do I got to spend time with God? Yes. Do I need to spend time with my spouse? Absolutely. But you know, four kids don't raise themselves. You go look in our society at kids that raise themselves and tell me how that works. Okay? Now, my wife is wonderful. I mean, honestly, I can give pretty much all the credit of how our kids... I'm not blaming my wife. If my kids are bad... That came out really bad. If my kids are bad, that is my fault. If they're like angels, that is her fault, all right? But kids don't raise themselves, all right? And I got to spend time with that. You know, we are involved in ministry. This is a ministry-minded church, okay? I don't know, honestly, of any other church in this area that does as much ministry stuff as this church, okay? This is a ministry-minded church. But you know what? I can't live my whole life. I'm just being quite honest with you. I can't live my whole life on a bus route. Because you know who struggles? My relationship with God. Can you hold it up a little so I can see it? My relationship with my wife. You know, she's going to get bitter if all I do is spend my time on a bus route. Now, should I spend my time on a bus route? That's what God has for me. That's what I'm going to do. But I can't spend all my time there. Because what happens? It gets out of balance. You know where he's holding this? Pretty much the middle. Why? Because that's the easiest place to hold it. Okay? But I can't spend all my family is going to suffer if I spend all my time here. Now, is this important? 100%. All right? 100%. But I want to show you that there's a lot of facets. And listen, There's a lot of facets in all of our lives. And if we don't get these things right, we're going to have problems. Okay? So I'm going to put this one. I don't know how many I got. I forgot. I should have counted. Should have done an even number. All right? Work. This is a big one. A lot of our week is consumed in work. A lot of your week, men, is consumed in work. Okay? It is. But if work, and this is big for me because I just enjoy work. If work becomes the priority, my relationship with God struggles, my relationship with my spouse struggles, my relationship with my family struggles, and my ministry struggles. If this gets out of balance. Okay? But if all I want to do is sit at home and look into my wife's beautiful eyes, you know what else is struggling? They don't pay me for that. Okay? So does it see how that make how you have to be, you have all these facets, but you have to be balanced. Okay? So we'll put that over here. And then I got one more, and I'm just going to call it relationships. Because it's not just, I mean, I've got my family relationship, I got my wife, I've got work. But, you know, I've got church friends. Okay? I've got people in the world, I've got people I do things with. All right, mostly it's work, but I do. I have church family that I'll go and help, and I have church family that I go, we'll have over for supper, or we'll go do something together, or we'll whatever. But, you know, you can't just spend your whole life hanging out with friends, because you know who else struggles? God struggles. Your relationship with God struggles. Your wife's not going to like it if all you talk about is hanging out with the guys and you don't spend any time with her. What about, how does that make your family feel? What about your ministry? And then work. I'm just going to hang out with the guys. They don't pay you to do that. Okay? So we've got our life here, and we've got all these different things, and we've got all these different facets of our life that we have to keep, you know what? Balanced. And if we're not careful, you know where this weight gets heavy? Is when our life becomes unbalanced. Okay? If I start pushing down on this, all right, and he's still trying to keep this level, it gets tiresome after a while. He said, Brother Chad, I can handle it for a while, but then it starts wearing on you. And it starts wearing on you. And it starts wearing on you. And pretty soon you start looking at it and say, what do I have to get rid of in order to bring me back so it's not so hard a load to carry? Okay? It's not so hard a load to carry. But you know what, folks? God has designed us to carry a load. God has designed us to be able to do that. You can carry more than what you think. I look at families in our church. Several. We've had several families has gone through, especially babies, has gone through health issues. And I look at that. Me and my wife have talked about it. Isaac and Laura and Ryan and Abby and there's others. You look at those families and you're like, how do you hold it all together? You got all these, and then you throw a big one on top. But you know what? It's amazing how God's not going to ask you to do something he's not also going to give you the strength to do. God's not asked me to go through that or whatever else your family has gone through. God hasn't necessarily asked our family to go through that. So you know what? God hasn't given me the strength to go through that. All right? But God knows us. God knows that we can carry things. Balance is efficiency when you're working. Balance is efficiency. And when you become imbalanced, you become inefficient. When you become unbalanced, you become inefficient. Okay? You're falling off a ladder. It's hard to nail something. Okay? It is. But when you're balanced, it's amazing how much you can get done. Okay? So, God, you can carry more than you can think. I just want to be encouraged. You can carry more than you can think. Secondly, we sometimes get off of balance because of unnecessary. Unnecessary. And this is where Brother Chad really had to look at my life. All right? Sometimes I feel that overwhelmed. It's like I've got all these different things I've got to get done. And then I got to really look at my life and say, okay, where do you have things that you don't have to have? Okay? Sometimes we get out of balance because of the unnecessary. Hebrews chapter number 12. A lot of you familiar? Flip over there real quick. You're not too far away. Hebrews chapter number 12. Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Sometimes get off balance because of the unnecessary. Okay? We do. It's not necessary to have. It's amazing when I started looking up this word bear. I looked up the word bear, like a bearer of burdens in the Bible. And one of the first things that came up was this thing of iniquity. The Bible, many times the Bible says, bear their own iniquity. They shall bear their iniquity. He shall bear his iniquity. And listen, folks, you know what gets us off balance? Okay? If you look at this right now, I've got three on each side, right? We're balanced. He's not level, but he's balanced, all right? We're balanced. But you know what happens? Is sometimes we've got this. Secret sin. Well, nobody knows about it. But you know what? It will unbalance you. Completely throw you off. Okay? Completely throw you off. I'm going to read you some verses. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray after from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity." What does that mean? They're going to carry it. Okay, you've already got, listen folks, we've got enough in life to keep us busy. Why are you going to add your iniquity to that? They're going to bear their iniquity. Leviticus chapter 5, "And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity." All right? You know what this does? You know what secret sin does? Secret sin gets us off balance. That's what it does. It's going to throw you completely off balance. You're not going to be at, listen, you have secret sin or sin, period. All right? I'm going to use, all right? If I have secret sin, is that going to help my relationship with God? No. Is it going to help my relationship with my spouse? Is it going to help my relationship with my family? Is it going to help my ministry? No. Is it going to help my work? No. Is it going to help my relationships with other people? You know what it's doing? It's throwing everything off balance. Okay? And if you're not balanced, you're not efficient. Okay? So, this is interesting, and I thought it was just kind of neat. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 22. The Bible says, "And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness." Let's talk about the scapegoat. Okay? When they put all the sin of the Israelites, basically by ceremony, they put their sin on this goat and then they sent him out. All right? And you know what he did? He bore their iniquity. He carried their sin. All right? That reminds me of the verse in the New Testament. He bore, when Christ bore. You know what was Jesus doing? Listen, folks, sin is heavy. Sin is heavy. Sin is weighty. All right? Numbers chapter 14, verse 33. I want you to listen to this. "And your children," this isn't just us anymore, folks. This is transferred all the way down to here. "And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." What's this talking about? It's talking about a group of 12 men went to spy on Canaan. And they spent 40 days spying out the land of Canaan. And because they made the wrong decision, their 40 days, their children had to bear that for 40 years until all of them were dead, until their carcasses were in the wilderness. I love when the Bible uses the word carcasses. It's so politically correct. After the number of the days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Listen, you know why Jacob was facing some of the things he was facing that night? Honestly, think about it. Why was Jacob facing that? Why couldn't he be excited about going home? Because of some sin that he had, however many years prior to that, it was coming to pass and it was coming back to greet him. That's why he was distressed. All right? Secret sin. A secret is a heavy thing to carry. What has become a daily, also what has become a daily part of our lives that's just unnecessary. All right? Unnecessary. You know, Bible, Hebrews chapter 12 said, let's lay aside every what? Weight. And the, it's two different things. Unnecessary weight. All right? So we'll put that over here someplace. Unnecessary weight. You know what that does? It also, Brother Chad, I just don't have that much time in my day. I can't go do this. I can't be involved in this ministry. All right? Break down your day. Show me what you do with every minute of your day. You know what we find out real fast? There's a lot of unnecessary weight. Unnecessary weight. You know what we, you know, you flip open your phone. You flip open your phone. I flip open my phone. You just swipe yours, all right? You swipe your phone and, you know, 30 minutes later, you're like, oh, stink, I'm late. And then you're stressed because you're late. Why? Was that necessary? No. Okay? Think about this, folks. Unnecessary. Just things that you don't have to have. Things that you don't have to do. And we cram so much. Well, I don't have time to walk with God in the morning. Why? I don't have time to take my wife out. Why? I don't have time to spend with my family. Why? Well, I don't have time to be involved in this ministry. Getting a repetition here. Why? Think about it. What are you doing with that time? Unnecessary weight. Americans have never been busier than we are now. We struggle just to fit the things of God into our lives. What would happen if we gave God the first fruits of not just our money, but our time too? Spending time talking to God and walking with God throughout the day. I believe that once Jacob made things right in his past, he was then able to look forward to his future. I think the whole time Jacob, up until he got things right with Esau was always in the back of his mind. That night, I know it was. Esau was coming with 400 men. I guarantee that was on his mind. But what a weight was lifted. Remember what did I say? A weight was lifted. When he could go and say, okay, me and Esau, we're okay now. All right? Why? That was something, that was a secret sin he had behind him. Let me add this. It could be something as simple as a love for luxury or for sleep. Oh, Brother Chad, now you're meddling. Pleasure and sleep. Well, I just got to have 10 hours a day. Ugh. I don't know that that's a medical study proved out. Listen, Brother Chad, that's your opinion. Let's see here. Proverbs 23:21. For the drunkard and the glutton. So that would probably be pleasure. Glutton is not eating. Glutton is eating until you basically can't eat anymore. That's pleasurable. That's fun. All of us like to do it. Thanksgiving's coming. Okay? We like to do that. There's a lot of things we do for pleasure that aren't necessary. Okay? They're not necessary. The drunkard and the glutton shall come to what? Poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Young men, there is no reason. There is no reason if you don't have something to do that you should be sleeping until 9 o'clock in the morning. Period. Period. You shouldn't be sleeping until 7 o'clock in the morning. You know what the Bible says? The young man needs to bear his yoke in his youth. Get up and get out of your stinking bed. Quit rolling over and hitting the snooze button. All right? Get up and get out of bed. Well, I get up and work, and I work every day, and I go, and I get, and I make good money, and you don't have a dime to spend. You know why? You make a buck, and you spend a buck. You know what that falls under? Gluttony. Well, I'm not eating. Yeah, but you're buying. Okay? You say, Brother Chad, that's what, you know what you're doing? You're throwing your life completely out of balance. Okay? You're throwing your life completely out because you can't control your wanter. I just wanted some more sleep. Quit wanting. All right? Just get up and do something with your life. Remember, God designed us to carry burdens. All right? And I think that's important. Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. Brother Tom, I'm thankful for the night that we did loadout. And then my mom and dad made me get up the next morning and go to school. I say get up. There wasn't really any getting up. You went and got a shower and you went to school. I'm thankful for that. There's nothing, there's got to be laws against that. And that's your problem. Okay? Get up and go do something with your life. We're just wandering around day to day, no purpose. Okay? And it's going to throw you completely off balance. Thankful the times that, you know, I was in college. I don't tell college so much stories, but, you know, you stay up late, you work a job, you come back. I had to do security at night. I come back, I do security. I had to study. All right? You function. You learn to function on a few. And everybody in here that is a success has learned to function on less sleep. You've learned to function on less. Well, I just don't see how a successful person is successful, why everything just seems to work out for that person and fall in place, and everything, you know, everything they touch is golden. Have you ever followed that person around and watched what they do? When they get up, when they go to bed, what they spend money on, what they don't spend money on? You only have to work half a day every day. That's all you have to work, and you can be a success. Half a day every day. You'll catch that later. However, there are times, and once you listen, we'll be done. There are times you say, Brother Chad, all right, I've gone through my life. And Brother Chad, in all honesty, I've tried to get rid of all of this. Okay? Brother Chad, I've tried to get rid of all the unnecessary weights. Brother Chad, I've tried to, you know, cut down on the things I spend and my extra sleep, and I kind of try to streamline all that, and so I'm up early and I'm working and I'm, it just, Brother Chad, it just seems like there's still too much. Brother Chad, I still can't bear it. Still too much. All right, I'm not expecting you to do all this by yourself. God doesn't expect us to do all this by ourselves. You know, sometimes you just need some help. Romans chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. This one's harder for me. I do a project. We'll do a project. I'll be helping Micah with something. And I've got a fairly busy schedule. I would say it's fairly busy. It's not as busy as some people, but it's fairly busy. And, you know, we bought this go-kart from Jonathan. And we're trying to get this go-kart fixed up. And Mike is always like, Daddy, can you help me on the go-kart? And the problem is I want to come in and I just want to do it. Get it done. All right? And why is that? Because I can. I know what to do. I know how to do it. You know, it takes me 10 seconds to do something. And it honestly would take him 3 minutes to get the same task accomplished. But you know what? Am I actually helping him by taking that burden from him? Or am I helping him by helping to carry that burden? You've all helped, all the guys around here. You know, if you're asked to help with something, it's either, I forget what the one guy said, but it's either, you know, you're moving pianos or you're folding up tables and moving tables or chairs, all right? And you see these young guys and they start, when they first are young, they try to carry those white folding tables. You guys don't know how good you have it, by the way. We used to have wooden tables we had to carry. But they're trying to carry, you know, the tables almost, you know, tables up to here on their neck when they're sitting on the floor. And they're trying to carry the table and you know, they try it for a while and they're struggling. And you know what? You know, and then we've all done it. You come over and you basically pick the table up. But the kid is still helping, right? You know, he's still got his end. He has no idea where he's going, but he's carrying that end of the table. You know what you're doing? You're helping to bear a burden. You're stronger, and you can do it. Honestly, you could just take it from them, but it doesn't help them learn anything. Sometimes you need help when we're trying to stay balanced. Bear you one another, Galatians 6, verse 2, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Hey, let me just challenge you as a church family. Look for people that just need a boost. You know, if this is getting heavy for him, I don't have to come take it from him. A lot of times all I have to do is just grab it and help him for just a little bit. And then he's good to go. He's strong enough to carry it. Because remember, God designed him to carry it. We just get tired sometimes. We just get tired. Help our church family out. Help one another out. Look for ways that you can help people. Let me challenge you. Look for ways that you can help your pastor. God's given us an amazing man of God here. But you know what? He's not just carrying, think about this. He's not just carrying all of this for himself. He's also carrying, helping us carry all of this for every one of us. You think about the weight that that becomes at some point. He's not just praying for his own personal needs. He's also praying for the needs of all of us. Think what Elijah, how much Elijah would be encouraged if he had just one person standing there on that mount with him when he was facing all those prophets of Baal. Hey, Elijah, what can I get for you? What can I do? I'll pray with you, Elijah. Let's be a blessing to our pastor. Help bear burdens. Parents, young people, your parents carry a lot. I want every young person tonight, look for ways this week to help your mom and dad. Ways that you've never helped them before. Okay? Your mom and dad carry plenty. They shouldn't have to be picking up your socks too. I'm being dead serious. If you're sitting in here in this auditorium tonight, you're Bible club kids, all right? Your mom shouldn't have to pick up your socks too, all right? My kids, your mom shouldn't have to pick up your socks. She picks up mine. All right? No, I... You are supposed to tell the truth from the pulpit, aren't you? Because that was truth. But listen, you know, listen, pick up your own clothes. Your mom shouldn't have to clear the table after supper. You guys should do that. Your mom shouldn't be sweeping and cleaning your room. You should be doing that. And heaven help you if you're a teenager and your mom's still doing that. And I'm being serious. You've got some major character issues if you're a teenager and your mom's still picking up after you. Grow up. All right? Grow up. And young people, you ought to go to your parents and you ought to look at all the things that they're carrying. And you ought to go in and say, Mom, how can I help you today? Do the dishes. Sweep the floor. Help with the younger kids. All right? What is that? You're helping bear your mom and dad's burden. You're helping pick it up. Say, Mom, can I help you? All right? You don't realize how much that would be an encouragement to your mom and your dad if you would just, honestly, just do some basic things at home. Go home this week and do it. All right? That's your assignment for this week. All right? Your mom shouldn't have to tell you to clean your room and pick up your stuff. All right? She shouldn't. Your spouse. Listen, folks, what can we do to help? I have to look at my life. What can I do to help my wife? It's not, hey, honey, I've got all these different things I need done. Can you take care of this? I'm going to go hang out with the guys for, you know, tonight. We're going to go do something. It should be, hey, what can I do to help you, to help alleviate the things that you're carrying, All right. And vice versa. Vice versa. I want to be a help to my wife. Well, Brother Chad, what do? You come home and do the laundry? If it needs done. Hey, I know how to iron clothes too. I know how to cook eggs. I can do it. Yeah, they're good. You know what? Sometimes she just needs, you know, I'll call her, hey, do you want me to order pizza tonight? You know what? That means she doesn't have to cook that night. Okay? Look for things you can do for your spouse. What are you doing? All right? We're all carrying this stuff. Doesn't hurt every once in a while to get a boost. Okay? Doesn't hurt. Church family. What can you do to help your church family? Look for the needs of others. You know, something sometimes as simple as a note or a small gift or just helping somebody for a couple hours of time. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. However, many of the greatest crises of life require a man to face them by himself. The story of Jacob, you know who was there with him helping bear his burden when he was in his moment of distress? He was there by himself. I say by himself. He wasn't by himself. You know, God is always there too. Matthew 11:28, Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalms 55, we need to quit. Psalms 55, I want to challenge you to read that this week. It's David when he's a little overwhelmed. But he says in verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God, I've done everything I can to carry this load, but I still feel that I'm overwhelmed. It is here that God says, here, take my burden, let me help you with yours. When Jacob was in this time, this predicament, Jacob changed from supplanter to prince with God in his moment of being overwhelmed. Jacob didn't run. He didn't go back to where it was easy. He just bore his burdens, and with God's help, he became Israel. I want to challenge you. Hey, get rid of all the junk. But don't give up one of these just because it feels heavy. Don't give it up. Just get under it. Carry it. Help one another. This is a church family. All right? And I'm glad to be part of it. Couldn't think of a better place I'd rather be. All right? But let's just get under these burdens, bear them, carry them, all right? Help one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us. Lord, I went longer than I intended. God, it seems like sometimes we just have these burdens we carry, these things that just seem to overwhelm us many times. God, I pray that you just help us to get rid of all the unnecessary things that are throwing us out of balance and causing us to neglect other areas of our life. Lord, help me. Lord, it seems like, honestly, probably work. I just seem like I work more than I should. And I think my walk with you and my walk with my family and just many areas of my life sometimes struggle. And God, I want to do better at this. I want to be better at staying balanced. And Father, I pray that you just help us. Lord, I pray that you guide the invitation. Lord, I thank you just for your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. As God spoke to your heart, as the piano plays, you may do business with God. If you're getting baptized tonight, if you'll come, we'll get you guys set up for that.